Dominic Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, and now Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus. Naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. Drink Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S.com. We got our Focus right here in front of us. We're live at 312 Pizza Company on Monroe Street in Germantown today for the national championship game. So the Titans clinched the one seed yesterday, and by the hair on their rear ends, they found a way to beat the Houston Texans. And as our fan base told us in the last hour, which I would assume overlaps a lot with Titans fan base, the fans do not care about the fact that it was by the hair on their rear ends, which is fine. Anybody can care about whatever they want to care about. But all season, there's been somewhat of a disagreement between me and Titans fans. Now, just to recap how this has all gone down, I started the year thinking that Ryan Tannehill was a borderline Pro Bowl quarterback. So what you think of Stafford, what you think now of Kyler Murray, what you think of Dak Prescott. You know, I didn't think he was an elite quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. I didn't think he was Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz, Jimmy Garoppolo. But this season, all the numbers would say, all the rankings would say, that he's been more like Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz, and Jimmy Garoppolo, which isn't good. He's been like Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa, which is not good. And all season, for whatever reason, he has never been able to elevate the Titans this year. And I looked at it and I thought, this is bad. Like, this is bad for the Titans. This is going to hold them back. This is going to keep them back in the playoffs. That at some point, you got to have a quarterback who can go out there and win you a game. I'm not saying you got to have Rodgers, but you got to have a quarterback that can go out there. And every game they played where it felt like, boy, they really needed Tannehill, he wasn't there. They were winning games where he wasn't playing well, but in the games they were losing, goodness gracious. You know, rookie quarterback mistakes, like taking a delay of game before a game-tying field goal to move it from 44 yards to 49 yards against the Jets. What? That's not acceptable. Careless turnovers, not seeing the safety or the linebacker in the middle of the field, fumbling the snap against the Steelers. And every time he'd lose a game like that, I'd look at you and be like, guys, this is somebody who last year was campaigning to get into the Pro Bowl as the third best quarterback in the conference. This is a guy who 2 years ago was in the Pro Bowl, and he can't do anything right. And you guys were like, well, Jared, I mean, you got to think about it. He lost his receivers, and he lost his coordinator, and he lost his running back. And even though his offensive line is essentially the exact same as it's been, they still stay. I mean, it's not his fault, Jared, all year. And I kept telling you guys, when you make $30 million a year, at some point you got to elevate the team. Aside from the, well, you know, Jared, you know, what's he supposed to do without his wide receivers? You know, Tom Brady had his star wide receiver run off the field and quit the team in the middle of the game last week. Another one of his star wide receivers tore his ACL, and the other one has been in and out of the lineup too. And guess what? That doesn't stop Brady from throwing a game-winning touchdown pass to Cyril Grayson III or whatever, who I'd never heard of before. That's what good quarterbacks do. And at some point, Tannehill's going to have to step up, elevate, make a play, win you a game. And Titan fans, I mean, just the crying every time. What do you expect him to do with Nick Westbrook Akina? Yesterday, defense, which has played pretty well and carried Tannehill for most of the year, defense playing like absolute crap in the second half. Offense not running the ball effectively, not making big plays, not huge holes for the running backs. Three and out, three and out, three and out. Somebody had to make a play. And for the first time in 2021, even though it's 2022 now, the first time this season, Ryan Tannehill, who failed to elevate his team into playoffs last year when the Ravens took Derrick Henry out of the game, who has failed every time they've lost a game to step up and make a difference, no matter how many excuses were made for him that it was Des Fitzpatrick's fault, Ryan Tannehill avoids a sack, runs out of the pocket, steps up, and fires a ball to a wide-open Nick Westbrook-Ikhina for 35 yards. Titans move the ball down the field with a tight window touchdown throw to, surprise, surprise, Julio Jones. So for the first time all year, he finally elevated the team. And it just happened to be the most important game of the season because it was the one that really all the marbles were sitting there. And I'm wondering this question. Is that who Tannehill is? So from now on, I don't want to hear that Tannehill can't be that. Because he was that yesterday. I don't want them to go out there in the playoffs in the first game and say Zach Taylor and Cincinnati go out of their way to keep Derrick Henry from running the ball, and A.J. Brown gets dinged up, which I don't know if you guys noticed this. A.J. got dinged up again yesterday, and I don't want to hear that when Tannehill, if he does, throws for 145 yards and you lose and two interceptions, that it's not his fault, but it's Chester Rogers' fault. I don't want to hear that. Tannehill makes the most money on the team. At some point, you got to elevate your team. You all told me that was an unreasonable expectation, and he did it yesterday. He won you the game yesterday. I gave out two game balls. He got one of them. The other one went to Dontrell Hilliard. So this is my question for Tannehill going forward. Is this who he is? This is the guy that you all, when I've been looking at some of these games, thinking, my goodness gracious, I took the cheese on this guy. When I said, you know, they should sign him over signing Tom Brady. I took the bait. I got suckered in. Like the 64% of you when we ran a poll in the 2020 offseason and said, who would you rather have at quarterback? And 64% said they'd rather have Tannehill as the quarterback. I was part of the 64% and I got suckered in. And I felt dumb when Tannehill threw for 165, a touchdown, and a game-losing pick. When he missed a wide-open Cam Batson in the middle of the field against the Ravens. I felt dumb when Tom Brady hoisted the Lombardi Trophy up over his head. And I thought, oh my God, what would it look like if it was Brady and Henry and AJ and Davis and Arthur and oh God. And I felt dumb this year. And everybody was like, you're the biggest Tannehill hater. You're out there. I'm asking this question. Is this who he is? Because if he can do this in the playoffs, and he's not going to have to carry you in every game, but he's going to have to carry you probably in one. And if he can do that, I don't know how you beat the Titans. If the Titans show up to play, which I think against any of these AFC teams, I think they will. And I went from last week of just whatever you do, and this is really where I am, which is whatever you do, please do not turn the ball over. Whatever you do. And he did fumble yesterday. Now they got it back, but it wasn't like he had any skill unless he's a Jedi and I don't know it. It wasn't like he has any skill that kept that football from going to the Texans.
He kind of looked like a Jedi when he escaped that sack.
Yeah, well, that was one time this year. And I'm wondering if there's more of that where that came from or if that was the one time he could do that. But when you fumble the football, if the other team picks it up, that's going to cost you a game. And I've been looking at it like, please do not turn the ball over. I've just been asking Tannehill to not lose the game for the Titans. That when Derrick Henry's back and everything, just please don't lose it. You know, where you only have to make one semi-okay throw against the 49ers to win a game. Just do that. And I'll see if the defense can carry me across the finish line. But then you show me what you did yesterday, and I'm like, if you can do that, and the defense can play the way the defense has played most of this year before they put their feet up on the desk and cracked open their champagne bottles at halftime, and Derrick Henry's coming back, I think you got a shot. So this is the question. Is this who Tannehill is or is it not? I have a friend who got married. High school sweetheart, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gets married, high school sweetheart, and all of a sudden, people grow apart, people grow up, people, all kinds of different things happen. And the person that they were waiting for their spouse to become, who they thought, you know, high school sweetheart, waiting for them to become more responsible, waiting for them to be, you know, kind of more driven, more. And ultimately, they got to a point, even though kids and houses, and they're like, this isn't going to work out for us. And they end up getting a divorce. There comes a point in time where it's like, I've been waiting. And that's how I feel about Tannehill. But yesterday showed me you've got it in you. You've got it in you to make a play here or there. I know you do. You've got it. I'm a little surprised. This is now the question of what is Tannehill capable of? Or was this a one-hit wonder? Was this the one guy who out of nowhere when, who was it, Luke Vogt or Stephen Vogt or whatever it was, won the World Series MVP with the Red Sox in 2018 and was retired in 2019? Is that what it is? I don't know. But that's the big question for me. Who is Tannehill? Is this who he is? Is he not? Let's get your reaction. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. And this is the question. Is this who Ryan Tannehill is? Because for the first time in 17 tries, he won the Titans the game. 615-737-1025. What about Julio Jones? Because I will say this. I know Joe Rexroad was excited today listening to the morning show about Julio's four catches. What about, or five catches or whatever it was. What about Julio? He did score a touchdown. We'll get your thoughts on that too. 615-737-1025. Again, we are live at 312 Pizza Company today here on Stillman and Company because it's the national championship game. And let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook because that's my official sportsbook app. The college football championship is here, and to celebrate, FanDuel is hooking up new customers with 30-1 enhanced odds on either team to win. This means you can bet $5 to win $150 on either team to win it all. And I would say Alabama has won almost every other big game they played with Georgia, so I'm not sure why this would be any different. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook using the promo code JGM and make a deposit to claim your 30-1 enhanced odds. There's no better place to bet the college football championship than on FanDuel. And when you win, FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 2 hours. Don't miss your chance to win $150 on a $5 bet. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app or head to FanDuel.com and use the promo code JGM to get 30-1 odds on either team to win. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in a designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Tennessee trying to avoid a fourth consecutive three and out. It's third and five. Tannehill in trouble and stays on his feet. Keeps it alive. Throws on the run. Westbrook-Akina has it down the sideline and out of bounds. How did Tannehill do it?
Yeah, you're constantly fighting for the respect of your teammates, which I believe I have, and your opponents, you know. At the end of the day, like I play to win games. So whether... it'd be nice to get recognized, but I'm not worried about it. You know, I'm worried about finding ways to win games, lead my team, be great in big moments and critical moments, and win football games.
The guy who complained about not making the Pro Bowl last year, I'm not looking for recognition. You know, I'm here for the respect of my teammates, and okay. But that was by far the most impactful Ryan Tannehill has been on a Titan game this year yesterday. If that's who he is in the playoffs, carrying the team when he has to carry them, it's going to be hard to beat the Titans. Are you taking the cheese on yesterday's performance?
I need more of a sample size.
Well, you got 17 games.
So no.
Ian, are you taking the cheese on what we saw yesterday from Tannehill?
I don't know. Part of me wonders if it was just because it was Houston that he had a good game. Houston secondary and defense. It seemed like the Titans came out ready to pass a lot more than I anticipated. They were throwing the ball a lot more than I thought they would. I don't know if that was a matchup thing. I don't know if that was trying to get Tannehill into a rhythm as the playoffs go. But I'm not totally buying the cheese. Not yet. I think he will be solid. As long as he does, I'm just looking for no turnovers. I'll be honest with you.
That's the key. Are you taking the cheese on Tannehill?
No. But I did know that yesterday was going to be the moment for a lot of people that have texted this show or called this show to be like, see Jared Ryan Tannehill. I'm like, where was that in the Pittsburgh game? Where was what happened yesterday in the Pittsburgh game? When all you guys called in and blamed Racy McMath, where was that? Where was that in the Texan game? when everybody was like, Des Fitzpatrick ran the wrong route. Where was that yesterday? So all of a sudden, these receivers who stink don't stink anymore? Westbrook Akina's good now?
Well, AJ and Julio were both out there.
Yeah, but how many big plays did AJ make yesterday? One?
The touchdown was nice, yeah.
It's almost like just the presence of AJ elevates Tannehill.
Well, it definitely affects the defense, the presence of AJ.
It does.
I think the presence of AJ affects Anthony Firkser, because apparently Anthony Firkser has remembered how to catch the ball, which I am a little surprised by.
A pleasant surprise, nonetheless.
But, like, do I think against a good team that you're going to be able to do that? Then again, Tannehill,
maybe.
Remember Joe Retro's favorite stat? Tannehill was 9 of 9 in the fourth quarter against Buffalo, even though he was wretched in the first three quarters of that game.
Well, that's exactly why he knows the stat line for just the fourth quarter.
That's why he kept blowing it up, because it was like, see? I got to tell you, like, and I'm going to say this about the Robbie and Rexrode program, and I really don't mean this. Like, this really has nothing to do with Robbie. But it feels like it's starting to become, like, a pretty fanerific show.
I'm not going to sit here and pick apart Robbie and Rexrode.
Did you not? Today they were talking about Julio in the mix with, by the way, Julio had 50 yards.
Joe saying that Julio, like, it was more important for Julio to get some reps in than it was for Derrick Henry. I spit out my water. What?
Joe said today that, and I don't remember the exact wording, but I was literally at the gym and my head popped up. Like, he did not just say that. And that was when I texted you that I thought, I was like, man, is this getting like a little homerific over here? Like, is this getting, you know? And again, this really has nothing to do with Robbie, but
so it's just Joe.
No, but it's the Robbie and the Rex Road. It's the tone of the program.
Okay.
But I'm sitting there, and it was like Joe said something along the lines of, you know, with Firkser and Julio catching the ball the way Julio caught it yesterday, that you had those two with AJ and Westbrook Akina, and like, that's a pretty good foursome. And I'm like, dude, it's the playoffs.
Is it a pretty good foursome, or is it your foursome?
Okay, well,
there's two different things.
Here are the other foursomes in the AFC. Just, okay, you're one.
Okay.
So you're going to war right now, and let's take running backs out because he didn't count Derek.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got Westbrook Akina, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Anthony Firkser. The number two team has Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Byron Pringle, and Mecole Hardman. Who would you rather have?
I would say the second.
Okay, the third team has Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, Isaiah McKenzie, and Dawson Knox. Who would you rather have?
Probably that one.
Okay. The fourth team has Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd,
T. Higgins,
and Uzama, that tight end who actually is a pretty bad boy.
That one.
Okay. All right. Like, come on, guys. Like, look, I love the Titans. I do. I'll be at the games. I'll be in the crowd. But let's not get too carried away here. That's all I'm saying.
That's exactly how I felt about Julio, was when he made those first couple of big plays. Not even big plays. Plays, period. Was, oh boy, I'm going to be hearing so much of this from the text line, from people on Twitter tomorrow. Because I knew that people would take whatever Julio did and ran with it. It's like if your friend has a really bad significant other, and it's like they're just mean to them all the time, and it's just a toxic relationship, and then he brings her flowers once, and she's like,
oh,
see?
God.
And it's like, no, but he cheated on you. That's how I felt about Julio. Was like, yeah, that was great. I mean, I'm not going to take away from a touchdown and 50-yard performance, because that's more than we've seen from Julio in a long time. But, like, I'm not willing to say, okay, take him back because he brought you flowers. I'm not saying Julio's earning his paycheck because he had 50 yards and a touchdown. Doesn't take away from that game that he had 0 yards.
Do you think that it burned Joe's rear end at all that Khalif Raymond had a 75-yard touchdown against Green Bay?
I think he loved it.
No, I think Joe I think he really wanted to see me.
See, look
yesterday.
What Khalif Raymond can do.
No, but like that was me who was like, I don't want to see Julio make one play in the playoffs, and you guys be like, see, and I'd be like, Khalif Raymond can make that play because that's what Khalif Raymond did against Baltimore one dime. And then it was like, you know, Joe got really excited on Twitter yesterday about Julio making a couple catches, and I was like, and he was like, should we get excited about it? I was like, no. And he was like, I don't want to hear it from someone that would say, well, Khalif Raymond could have done that. And then Raymond has a 75-yard touchdown against the Packers. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Joe's going to be really mad about that homerific comment, by the way.
Yeah, he's going to be mad. I'm excited for Wednesday.
But do you think, like, we're all friends here. We obviously listen to the show for 4 hours at a time, so it's not like we don't like the Robbie and Rex Road program.
Big fan.
But it's just like, sometimes Joe gets carried away, and I feel like Joe's getting a little carried away. That's all I'm saying. Larry is going to kick us off this hour. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on Ryan Tannehill. Thank you for waiting. You go ahead, Larry.
Jared, listen, man. Okay. Can you handle the truth?
That's all this show does. That's why it's so freaking popular. Go ahead.
The truth is, Ryan Tannehill is the best Titans quarterback to ever put on that jersey. Okay? Let me tell you something else. Henry went down in nine games ago. We are 6-3. He's throwing to bums most of the season. Third and fourth stringers. Our number one and number two, sometimes number three receiver was out. We are 6-3 without Henry. What would our record be of that nine-game span without Tannehill? There's an old country music song called Love the One You're With. He's what we got. Stand behind him, support him. We went to the playoffs three times in a row. Tannehill is the man. He throws laser, rocket, accurate throws. Sure, he turns the ball over. Give the man a break. Without him, we wouldn't be sniffing the playoffs. And that's all I got.
Larry, normally I like your takes. Thank you for your call. Normally I like your takes, especially one time after the first preseason game when he said the Titans were going to go 0-16. So I like some of that. Like, that is just not true. Like, let's start with the beginning of his call. Tannehill's the best quarterback to ever put on a Titans jersey. Tannehill win MVP for the Titans?
No.
Okay, done there. Now, the 6-3 record without Henry. Is that what their record was? I will take his word for it. But how many of those games did they win because of Tannehill? Like, Tannehill barely did anything against the Rams. That was a defense
game. That was a defense win.
Tannehill barely did anything against the Saints. If it wasn't for Jerome Boger being Jerome Boger, Tannehill would have cost you the Saints game.
And if it wasn't for the repeated missed kicks by the Saints kicker,
what about your
points? Saints probably would have won that game.
They beat Jacksonville 20-0 in a game that I legitimately fell asleep in the second half of.
That was a boring game.
Which I didn't think Tannehill was good in that game, but I didn't think Tannehill was bad. I mean, that game was just such a go-through-the-motions, blah, BS game. This game, Tannehill won them. He won them this game. Other than that, I don't, the idea of, oh yeah, Tannehill's out there throwing BBs, throwing rockets, throwing, I mean, like the San Francisco game, I thought that was all AJ. I thought Tannehill made one good throw.
It was a good throw.
The good throw for the touchdown where he zipped it in between two guys.
Yeah.
Who they beat last week?
The Dolphins.
Oh yeah, I mean that game was just, you know.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think that like an average quarterback, if you guys think Vrabel's the coach of the year, and I'm fine with Vrabel being coach of the year, but I think it's so much more so like what Vrabel's doing and the defensive line and the, like, I think it's so much more that than anything that the offense has been doing, right? Like, you can argue that Deontay Foreman, a guy who literally didn't have a job 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, whatever it was, that he was more important in the Dolphin win than Tannehill.
And I think that if you're going to make an offensive argument in terms of, like, who is winning games for the Titans, if you're going to say anything on offense, it has to be the run.
Yes.
That's what's won this team games, is good defense, a good defensive line, a good pass rush, and running the ball.
I just don't get the idea of, like, you know, how dare you even kind of criticize Tannehill. But it does feel like locally there's a lot of that. It feels like locally that there's a lot of sacred cowism with Ryan Tannehill.
It absolutely does.
And I will
give credit to Tannehill where credit is due, and I will give him credit for that game yesterday because he did win the Titans that game yesterday, and he did look confident, and he did go out there and look like the Ryan Tannehills of the past. But in games where he throws multiple interceptions and muffs the snap, I'm sorry, I can't give him credit. And if Titans fans want to hold this team to a standard of a Super Bowl standard, which I think is fair.
He's going to have to play like yesterday.
He's going to have to play like a Super Bowl quarterback. And I'm not saying that he has to go out there and be Tom Brady. But go out there and do what you do best and don't turn the ball over.
Let's get back to your phones next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Live from 312 Pizza Company. Again, come on by. Register to win those Dierks Bentley tickets. They'll be giving them away tonight during the national championship game. You must be present, though. So a great place to watch the ball game tonight. 312 Pizza Company here in Germantown. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 1025 again.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's... You know, through all the ups and downs, I mean, the first thing you think of is the first time we played them in that bad weather and the interceptions. Tannehill, he doesn't get phased. He has like this life about him, this leadership about him that, you know, he never says die. He's like a Goonie, you know, never says die. So he definitely did a great job. When we were in the huddle in that 4 minute, you know, we're all talking, we have our keys during 4 minute of what to do, what not to do. And so we're all reminding ourselves of that. And then Tannehill comes in, gives the boys a nice little pump up speech and then calls a play. So awesome to win that game. Wish we would have won it better, but it was great to win that game in a 4 minute and run the ball when they know we're going to run the ball.
There you go. That was Taylor Lewan. Yesterday, Hilliard with some very impressive runs there. We're talking about Ryan Tannehill live from 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Great spot for the national championship game. I was just kind of glancing through the text line, and we will get to some of these texts. But I feel like I'm trying to argue with Titan fans about Tim Tebow or something right now. It's like, what are you watching? We talk about Tannehill, and it's like, Jared, Tannehill is the freaking man, and he goes out there, and he is zipping the ball, and he throws for like 172 yards a game.
Which is fine.
He's not Brett Favre.
Which is fine when the game plan is to run the ball.
Right, but I feel like this argument, like I'll tell you, Tannehill played his best game of the year last year. The most impactful Ryan Tannehill has played in 2021 season was yesterday. And yet, like, the text line is literally, this reminds me of the Tim Tebow thing where it's like, yeah, Tebow's not very good. Tebow is the best. He's a winner. He's the best. And it's like, yeah no, he can't throw the ball. No, Tim Tebow. That's what I feel like I'm dealing with here. Let's go to your phones, as promised, unless you have a thought.
To the phones.
Titans and Truth. Chris is up next. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, good afternoon, y'all. Good to hear from you. And I want to put it like this. Is Tannehill pretty solid? Yes, he is solid. Not to the caller's to the last caller's point. I almost, like Caroline, want to sit out my water. Greatest ever to put on the tight uniform. I think there's a certain guy, God rest his soul, who wore number 9. That might say something a little different.
Here's my question for you, though, about solid, right? Like 20 of 31, 191, no touchdowns, no picks. Is that solid?
I'm going to say no. I mean, on the good side, you don't turn the ball over.
Okay, 23 of 32, 153 and one pick.
Not solid because you turned the ball over.
22 of 29, 209, one touchdown, no picks.
I would say that's solid. I mean, okay.
Okay, 13 of 18, 122 touchdowns.
The two touchdowns kind of makes it a little solid. Which would have been more yards? But I would say, pretty solid because you got points.
And then yesterday, 287, 4 touchdowns. And again, yesterday was his best game. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the last month of Tannehill. That's not $30 million for 153.
But this team also runs the ball. I mean, we've said it so many times. I'm asking for 220. Ryan Tannehill to throw the ball.
No. There's a difference between, like, 120 and 220.
Yes.
I'm not asking for 320, but, like, 120, that's not solid.
Lot.
That's just, that's game manager. Like, that's, you know, freaking don't ever throw it. Sorry, Chris, continue.
Well, I will say this. I will say my definition of solid is decent enough to where it's good enough to win the game. It's good enough to at least help you win the game with a running game and not necessarily, I'm not saying like, oh, my God, those are the greatest stats ever for somebody that's getting paid $30 million. But I would say Tannehill, solid, but I'm hearing people saying he's like the best thing ever, and I'm just, I can't agree with that. And I think I'm the only one that will say, yes, am I glad the Titans won, got the number one seed? Absolutely. But am I, you know, do I care about how they play in the second half? You're darn right I care. I didn't like the way that the second half was going. Like you said, it felt like, oh, well, we got the number one seed locked up. You know, we don't really need to work hard anymore. And they let up. If you let up against a team, if you let up against some of these other teams, the Bills, the Patriots, I'll even say the Raiders, even though I know probably these teams the Titans should beat, they're better than the Texans. If you let up against some of these teams, even in the playoffs, you will get your butt beat and you will be sitting at home watching the rest of the playoffs. So,
okay, Chris, yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I appreciate you. Thank you for your call. Okay, so here's my one thing that I feel about that. Like, the Titans aren't going to let up against any team in the playoffs unless they get a humongous first half lead. And I'm almost kind of at the point where it's like, if you get a 21-0 lead against Kansas City and you blow it in the second half, then we can go back and after the fact be like, man, you guys really screwed the pooch. But I think, like, I'll take my chances if I can get a 21-0 lead against the Chiefs. I'll take my chances if I can get a big first half lead against the Bills that the Titans will be smart enough to realize that there's another 30 minutes of football. So if you can outscore
ideally,
somebody
yes.
by 20 points in the first 30 minutes, they can do the same in the second 30 minutes. So I guess I don't – like, that doesn't bother me as much as kind of like the audacity that the Titans, who already lost this Texan team, would go in at halftime and think it's over. Like, that's just like guys – like, you do realize, like, you're not a perfect team.
And this is a team that very much so can beat you.
Already has. What do we have in the text line? 615-737-1025. But it's not like, you know, if you don't show up in the second half against Buffalo, they'll beat you. Duh. But I just feel like the Titans are going to mentally approach things differently. What's next?
Michael from Missouri texts in and says, I'm happy with the way Tannehill played yesterday, and I agree he won the game for the Titans, but he's going to have to be better in the playoffs than he's been in the past. That is, unless Henry goes off like he has in the past in the playoffs. I'm not asking for 300 yards or anything either. Between 180 and 220, no turnovers.
Do you know how many times Ryan Tannehill's thrown for 300 yards this year?
Maybe once.
Twice. 347 against Seattle in the first game, okay. 323 on 52 attempts and 4 interceptions against the Texans. And
4 interceptions.
So, I mean, Tannehill this year, let's just go off of since Derrick Henry got hurt, right? Because everybody's pumping the tires saying that you couldn't have done this without. 143, 213, 232, 93, 191, 153, 209, 120, 287. So one really, really good game yesterday, one really, really bad game, the 1-300 game against the Texans in the first one, and then like a bunch of anywhere from like 93 to 200. Here was what Tannehill did last year, and this is where I'm like, okay, what am I missing here? Last year, from that similar point on, 259, 221, 389, 212, 273, 121, 216. So, I mean, you're looking at a guy that last year could get it up there into the 250s, and that's all I want is 240, 200. You can't do what you did 2 years ago when you beat the Ravens and the Chiefs. Now, the Ravens and the Patriots, maybe Derek will do this for you, but I'm not banking on it. Like, you're not going to throw for 90 yards and win 2 playoff games. I just don't see it possible.
But with those stats that you just named, was that Tannehill last season?
Yes.
But was Tannehill turning the ball over at the same rate that he has been this season?
God, no.
So why do you want the ball to continue to be in Ryan Tannehill's hands? Why do you want him to throw for
250? Hasn't turned it over. Hasn't turned it over the last 2 weeks. I'm just saying, like, if you people are going to sit there and try to tell me that he's better than Steve McNair, like, I'm going to need him to do something. Like, I'm going to need him to do something.
That's fair.
And yesterday he did something. So maybe that's a sign that he'll do something going forward. I saw somebody tweet me that said, and sometimes I love this stuff. I had somebody that said, nobody hates excited Titans fans more than Jared Stillman and Paul Kaharski. How dare us have optimism and joy? I haven't said you can't win the Super Bowl. I have said, can the quarterback play like the quarterback played yesterday? But then the argument gets turned around into, what do you mean, can the quarterback play like the way the quarterback plays? The quarterback's great! And I'm like, guys, let's just be realistic about what we've seen this season. Like, it hadn't been great. You've won games. Sometimes Hard for me to figure out how they won as many games as they won, but they've won some of these games. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Black Monday in the NFL. Goodbye to a lot of coaches. We'll do the headlines with Caroline. She'll have the rundown of who's in and who's out. So we'll do that coming up next. Live from 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025 again. So the next hour, we'll have Eagles tickets to give away. We'll figure out how we'll do that. We're live at 312 Pizza Company today. Stillman & Company, again, the national championship game here at 312 Pizza Company. And 312 Pizza Company is family-owned and operated, bringing you a slice of Chicago to Nashville as they specialize in deep-dish pizza, thin crust, and all things Chicago-style. Plus, it's the perfect spot to catch the championship game tonight. Reaction Mondays, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Focus, naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. Check them out at DrinkFocus, PHOCUS.com. Time now for a Black Monday edition of Headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Can I just say something that could be used against me if this guy ever wins a Super Bowl, because he's not going to get fired, but I think he's the worst coach in the NFL?
By all means.
Brandon Staley of the Chargers, I think, is the worst coach in the NFL. I did not watch every game that every team played this year. The Chargers were certainly not a team that I watched every game that they played. Mm-hmm. But the two games that I watched in the last month that Brandon Staley coached either of them to win, and he would have, if he had just not done the stupid things, he would have had the Chargers in the playoffs. I don't know how a locker room invests what they invest into a football season and come back and look at that guy in the face and not think that their coach is holding them back. If I own the Chargers, I would fire him today after one season.
I mean, it's the bad decision-making hiding behind the analytics of it all, saying, well, you know, the analytics say if you go for it at a fourth and one on the goal line, if you run the ball, that's,
he called timeout.
I know, I'm speaking hypothetically, but he called timeout yesterday, and that essentially cost the Chargers their shot at the playoffs. I think everyone on the field, everyone in that stadium yesterday understood that this game was probably going to end in a tie. Let's just call it a tie. Let's just kneel. Except him.
They showed Herbert on the sidelines, and you can literally read his lips. He's like, never have I wanted a tie more badly.
I saw
in my
that.
Life. Poor Herbert. Herbert had Anthony Lynn, and now he's got this guy, and they're going to ruin him just like Baker Mayfield got ruined. Who got fired today?
Well, yesterday, Vic Fangio out as the Denver Broncos head coach. But today, it was like domino after domino was falling. First and foremost, the Chicago Bears fired Matt Nagy and their general manager, Ryan Pace, following their 6-11 season, only 3 years after Matt Nagy won Coach of the Year in 2018.
So, here's my thing about Nagy and Pace.
Okay.
And I heard Jimmy Johnson say this today, and I totally believe it. And that is the general manager, or whatever the position is, the picking the player person is the most important person in your entire operation. Like, and there's not a close second. Like, you're the guy who, everybody knows the coach. The guy who makes the pick of Tua over Herbert is the more important person in Miami. And Ryan Pace, and this is what I believe about general managering, which is, it's a tough racket, because yes, you make a lot of money. Yes, you have a lot of power. But if it doesn't work, you're going to get fired. If you take a gamble in the NFL, a sizable gamble, a big-time gamble, and it doesn't work, I think you should be fired. And that's exactly what Ryan Pace did when he moved up in 2017 from 3-2 in order to draft Mitch Trubisky out of North Carolina. He passed on Deshaun Watson. He passed on Patrick Mahomes. He passed on those guys, and while I didn't know that Patrick Mahomes was going to be this, that's not my job. Your job as the general manager of the Bears is to go out there and find the best quarterback, and it's not what Mel Kiper Jr. says it is. You have to find the guy that's going to be the best guy, and he didn't do it. And so that one decision, regardless of what you think of Nagy, that one decision was what should have gotten him fired last year. And now this is where you look at the Chicago Bears job and you think this would be a great job for a coach or a great job for a GM. And it's like, is it? You have no first round pick this year because you traded it for Justin Fields. And there might be some prospective general managers or prospective coaches that don't think Justin Fields is very good. And then I wouldn't want that job if I'm going to be stuck with a second year Justin Fields. And just like Herbert getting a new coach, just like Baker getting a new coach, just like all these guys keep moving it around.
Trevor Lawrence.
And Trevor Lawrence. And I just, I think that not understanding why you win and why you lose is the most important part here. With the Bears, everybody wants to crap on Nagy, and I get it. And I have no idea if the guy's a smart football guy or not. But pace is the bigger story here. He's the bigger story. His investment on Trubisky failed, and that's why he's gone. And that's why he should be gone. Just like Brent Veach and Andy Reid's investment on Patrick Mahomes is going to keep them around for a long time. Who else got fired?
Brian Flores got fired today after three seasons with the Dolphins. So their general manager, Chris Greer, will stay. But Brian Flores fired nearly 12 hours after beating the New England Patriots 33-24. But Dolphins owner Stephen Ross said, after evaluating where we are as an organization and what we need going forward to improve, I determined that key dynamics of our football organization weren't functioning at a level I wanted it to be and felt that this decision was in the best interest of the Miami Dolphins. So I interpret that as Brian Flores was...
Power struggle.
...was in cahoots with someone else or was arguing with somebody else within the organization as to why the Dolphins weren't winning, and the organization sided with whoever Brian Flores was disagreeing with.
Here's the thing about Patriot people, and this happened with Bill Belichick and Bobby Greer, and nobody even knows who Bobby Greer is. And I don't think Bobby Greer is related to Chris Greer, but nobody knows who Bobby Greer is. But Bobby Greer is the one that went to Michigan and sat down with Lloyd Carr, and Lloyd Carr said, Bobby, you have to take my quarterback, Tom Brady. And Bobby said, what do you mean? You don't even play the guy. He's like, Bobby, trust me, you got to take him. And so Belichick ended up being the one that took him. But there was a power struggle there, and there has always been a power struggle with the New England Patriot people. Brian Flores is no different. In fact, there was a power struggle here when Mike Mularkey took over the worst franchise in the NFL and went 9-7, won a playoff game, and still got fired. And apparently this is what happened to Flores. Now, this is the only question I have. Flores has always coached up, in my opinion, Flores has always coached up the Miami Dolphins. The first year they got them, they were supposed to be the worst team in the league. They were tanking. They had sold everything. They got rid of Minka Fitzpatrick in the middle of the season because he didn't want to be there anymore. I mean, they were mailing it in, and they still won five games. I thought it was incredible. Last year, they had a rookie quarterback. They weren't supposed to be competing for the playoffs. He had them competing for the playoffs. I thought that was pretty impressive. This year, they won seven games in a row. They swept the greatest coach in the history of the NFL. I mean, I don't know why the Miami Dolphins think they can do so much better, but this owner has a track record of Adam Gase and just guys who suck. So the only question that I have for the owner of the Dolphins, Stephen Ross, is this. Whose decision was it to take Tua over Herbert? If you let the coach make that pick, and it was Flores' decision to take Tua over Herbert, then you know what? I can understand saying, no, I want the general manager to have more power, and I can't deal with you guys fighting. If it was Greer, which is my assumption, that it was Chris Greer that picked Tua over Herbert, then I'd be firing him before I'd be firing Brian Flores. That being said, Brian Flores is going to get another head coaching job, and he needs to find somebody that he can work with. And work with them responsibly, because you're not always going to get your way in the NFL.
Mike Zimmer, also out with the Vikings after eight seasons. They also fired their general manager, Rick Spielman, also after eight seasons. The Vikings finished
with... Spielman's been there for 16.
Oh, well, excuse me. 16 years.
But do you know why Spielman got fired?
What?
The same reason that Ryan Pace got fired. Because they made the NFC title game in 2018 with Case Keenum at quarterback, and they thought, we are a Kirk Cousins away. And they gave Cousins a ridiculous contract, fully guaranteed. I remember sitting there in the studio with Floyd being like, you can't do that. And I was like, I mean, I think they think that they're a Cousins away. And Floyd never liked Cousins, but he was like, yeah, but you can't give the quarterback a fully guaranteed contract. You cannot do that. And I was like, even if it's just 3 years, he's like, no, you can't do it. And because they invested in Cousins, they are where they will always be with Kirk Cousins. We talk about Tannehill elevating the Titans in the playoffs. I don't know if Tannehill will or won't. I'm guessing he probably won't. But at least there's like this sense of, hey, Tannehill made the team better as soon as he got there. Cousins, he made them worse. This is who he is. 9-7, 7-9, whatever it is, 9-8, 8-9, you know.
8-9.
Maybe makes the playoffs, maybe doesn't make the playoffs. That's what Cousins is with this team. And it was the choice to invest in Cousins and put yourself in a position to where you can't get out of it and not get another crack at it that cost Rick Spielman his job. And I think with Zimmer, I don't know if Zimmer, certainly they had kind of, it had run dry in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Like, he had been there long enough, like it was time. I don't know if Zimmer's personality, an old school coach, is going to work like with the new age player. You know, the new, like, kind of softer, kind of more entitled, paid more mm-hmm. kind of player. I don't know if that's going to work, if Zimmer should get another job somewhere else. Flores will get another job somewhere else.
Yep.
Nagy will, if Bieniemy leaves, probably go be the offensive coordinator at Kansas City again. But I don't know about Zimmer. But it was time. Is that it for the league?
That so far, yes. So four coaches out. You got Vic Fangio out, Nagy out, Brian Flores out, and Mike Zimmer all out.
Any playoff coaches on the hot seat? I guess Bisaccia and with the Raiders would be. I think Bisaccia has. I don't cover him. I'm not there every day. I think Bisaccia's earned the job.
I mean, things were looking bleak in Vegas. I mean, one after everything unfolded, and you know, essentially the black week of, you know, Henry Ruggs, yeah, and then Gruden. I just thought, okay, this team has gone through so much off the field.
10-7.
10-7. Making the playoffs. I mean,
I think Rich
Bisaccia,
he's
worth a look.
They're playing hard for him, too.
I do wonder why, because Vegas has already come out and said that they're not interested in hiring him on full time.
Yes. Why? Ian Rappaport said,
why?
I was listening to like a halftime show of like Monday night, Thursday night, one of those football games. And Ian Rappaport said, he told Rich Eisen, he said, like, it's going to, I just, all the discussions I've had, I don't think they're interested in keeping Rich Bisaccia. And look, I don't know Rich Bisaccia. I don't know anything about him other than he was like Gruden's right-hand man for years and years and years and years. But they're playing hard for him, and I have to give him that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are headlines with Caroline on Black Monday, 615-737-1025. We're live out at 312 Pizza Company out here in Germantown. Coming up next, we will get to your top phones on the Titans. Plus, I said I got three game balls. I already gave one away to Tannehill. I gave one away to Dontrell Hilliard. I got another game ball that I got to give out. So we'll do that next as well. This is a special game ball that we will give out next here on the program. Focus! Naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. We got two focuses here. If you're looking at the stream, we got the peach and we got the blood orange. Focus is a naturally energizing, brain-focusing, taste-tantalizing hydrator that combines simple ingredients to create the perfect guilt-free pick-me-up your body will crave to feel its best. So instead of coffee, which may stain your teeth or give you bad breath, or some of these naturally, you know, these non-naturally caffeinated energy drinks, look at the studies, they're bad for your heart. This is natural tea caffeine, and it is right for you. Focus. Give it a try. They're at your local Publix. So now just go into a Publix, grab some Focus, or better yet, you can do what I love to do, which is go to Drink Focus, PHOCUS, drinkfocus.com, enter promo code GAME at checkout. You'll get 15% off your first order. You can see all their flavors and have them delivered right to your door. Make this your new morning coffee, your new morning energy drink, your new morning, you know, that artificial soda. Get that out. Put in naturally caffeinated Focus. Drink Focus, PHOCUS.com, promo code GAME.